Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For your gold, RobertHackDiamonds.com. We're talking Packers football on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. Just kind of a weird, wacky Monday. The Packers are 5-1, yet not technically atop the division right now. There's a few snowflakes in the air. Although, do they have the one? Do the Packers have the one seed right now?
Overall, you mean in the NFC?
Yeah, over the Bears.
Oh, in the North? Well, they're both 5-1. So I guess you'd go, we'll answer that question tomorrow. How about that? My wife just texted me. I guess there's like deer outside of our house. So she's going to do a video and then send it over. I guess there's like four deer that are just chilling outside of our house.
Really?
Yeah. And then my neighbor came out and like got chased by one of them or something. So she's going to send me a video. Maybe I'll post that. It's a weird Monday.
Do you want to have her on?
No.
To talk about it?
No, I don't. Because, you know, they're just deer and it's football Monday. But that is really weird. We've had a lot of weird stuff going around our apartment lately. But I don't know what the heck's going on. There's like all these just animals. Like today, I opened up our garage because my car was in the garage and I grilled this weekend and I must have left it open. So, I didn't even tell you about this. I opened up my garage to get in and like a skunk and like all these animals just start running out at me at 4:15 a.m. this morning. It was scared the hell out of me.
Did you get a video?
No, I didn't. But
can I have you on to talk about it?
No, but I think I almost had a heart attack. I think technically
the Bears are. I just looked it up.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think technically the Bears would be
Bears.
First,
Bears, so right now the Bears are the one seed. Oh, if I'm going to look at the if I'm going to look at the standings, I need our standings music.
I don't know what you're doing, dude.
Now, can I use the same standings music for NFL that I use for baseball?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll allow it.
All right. The Bears are the one seed in the NFC. Now, they've got the Rams tonight, obviously, so things could change. But the Bears are 5-1. They are 5-0 in conference play. The Packers are 4-1 in the NFC. So they would get the tiebreaker, according to fourletternetwork.com.
HGTV.
Although, if you go by division, Packers are 2-0 and the Bears are 1-0. So I don't know. I'm just going by fourletternetwork.com.
Well, the Bears are going to lose tonight, and then the Packers will be in first.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And then they'll be the number one seed. Seattle is the two seed. Tampa Bay would be the winners of the NFC South right now, and then the Eagles are 2-4-1, so they would be atop the NFC East, which got more interesting yesterday as Dallas is terrible. Remember, if you think McCarthy's going to get fired, he signed a 5-year deal for $30 million with the Cowboys. You think Jerry Jones? Well, I don't know. Jerry Jones really wants another Super Bowl. Is he going to make a $30 million exit button pushing moment. You know what I mean.
If Lincoln Riley decides to leave Oklahoma, maybe. I think McCarthy definitely gets another year. My biggest takeaway from that game is that team hates each other. Andy Dalton, first things first, John Bostic should be kicked out of the league. That hit was dirty. I felt disgusting watching it.
Helmet to helmet.
I hope Dalton's all right, man. He was going down. Ugh, that grossed me out a little bit. I'm not the biggest Cowboy fan, but you don't want to see anybody get hit like that. Nobody on the offensive line, nobody even stuck up for their quarterback who just got hit like that. That team is a mess. They're ripping McCarthy behind his back. Maybe he doesn't survive. I don't know. Depends who wants to.
He's not getting fired. Dude, they lost two quarterbacks now.
Yeah.
And then their offensive line is like Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, thank you.
He's probably going to start on Sunday Night Football next week.
I'd call.
Sunday Night Football next week is Cowboys-Eagles.
Hey, to do it, I would see, man, like, what does Tampa Bay want for Josh Rosen? Does Kaepernick
want to
play?
What do the Packers want for Tim Boyle?
Yeah.
You know, make a trade with McCarthy, give him Tim Boyle?
I'll do Jordan Love for CeeDee Lamb. I'll do Jordan Love for Amari Cooper, and I'll do Jordan Love for Michael Gallup right now.
I'll do Jordan Love for Mike Nolan.
No. You can't waste a first-round pick for Mike Nolan.
How far did I get? Oh, the Packers are fifth. So as of right now, if the season ended today, it does it well with COVID, never know. But they would go to the Eagles. So the 5-1 Packers would go do the 2-4-1. Eagles, Cardinals are sixth, Rams are seventh. Gary Ellerson, who we have on the show every Monday at 7 a.m., tweeted to me a few minutes ago a Booger McFarland tweet. Two people on this earth love Booger McFarland. That'd be Gary Ellerson and you, Ryan Horvath.
Yeah.
Big Booger fan.
We love Booger.
Booger's take is three teams are separating themselves as being complete teams where they've got all three phases locked in. He says that's Tampa, Kansas City, and the Steelers. And then the Packers are just outside on that list. So do you agree that there's a separation? If you look at what you've seen from Tampa, obviously they beat Green Bay. Kansas City, 2 weeks ago, they won with their running game. And not Mahomes. This weekend, they won with their defense and special teams and barely Mahomes. So they can win in a bunch of different ways. They haven't really had to unlock Mahomes yet. And then the Steelers, who I've wanted to downplay over and over, the Titans came back on them, but the Steelers, they've got a pretty prolific offense right now, and the defense is all right when it needs to be. So those are three teams that if the Packers were to play on a neutral field, I would think are all favored above Green Bay right now. But I wonder how big that gap is. So according to Booger McFarland, he says the three teams that are the best in the league right now are the three teams with the best record.
Way to go out on a limb there, Booger.
No, but the Bucs do have a couple of losses. But he says it's Tampa, the Chiefs, and the Steelers, and then the Packers right outside that list. So I think when we talk about, well, we need a second option at receiver, we need, the question we're asking is what's separating the Packers from being the Bucs, the Chiefs, or the Steelers? Because right now, you have to put Tampa ahead of the Packers. They beat them. The Chiefs.
Playing at Lambeau.
I mean, the Chiefs are amazing.
I said on the pregame show, if there's a team that's going to repeat as Super Bowl champions, like, this is the best shot that you have at that. Because, I mean, you just said it right there, man. Like, Patrick Mahomes, they haven't even released him yet this year. They haven't even needed those video game type number performances from Patrick Mahomes because they are just pounding the rock. They're ripping off 5-6 yards per clip on carries. Edwards-Helaire looks really, really good. And then, oh, yeah, you add that Le'Veon Bell guy who happens to be really good and Travis Kelce. And we're not talking about the defensive side of the ball. Like, they're getting after the quarterback. They're limiting teams when they do get into the red zone, holding teams to field goals. Kansas City's the real deal right now. See, I got the Packers. I'm higher on the Packers than most, but I get what Booger's saying. They got to beat somebody like a Tampa Bay before you put them in that tier one, I think. I will agree with that.
Well, what I don't like about Tampa and the Chiefs is the NFL's just letting them cheat and get away with it. Because, look, I'm a Packer fan.
You're an owner.
Well, it's got to be. I'm an owner. And from my understanding, just watching this team the last 20 years, it's illegal to add good talent during the season.
Yeah, no. You got to like your own guys, you know? And then you can't forget about those guys on the practice squad. I mean, they work really hard, too. Don't they deserve a gold star?
Even if the Buccaneers had a guy who's so low risk in terms of what he cost you in Antonio Brown, and they didn't need a wide receiver. The Buccaneers have Evans and Godwin, and then their young guys like Scotty Miller and Tyler Johnson.
All right.
I'd take those guys over MVS right now. They don't need a receiver.
They didn't need Leonard Fournette. They got Ronald Jones.
They didn't need LeSean McCoy.
They didn't need Gronk.
They didn't need that defensive tackle they just got from the Jets.
He had like four tackles yesterday, too.
They didn't need any of these guys.
Somebody was like, yeah, I wouldn't have made that move either. It's 34 years old. And I said, what do you think their window is, bro? Their quarterback's 50. Like, their window is now.
He's going to turn 35 on his next birthday, not 75.
Like, I am the, like, I carry the G. I bleed green. I mean, how many of you are betting money on this stupid team to beat the Niners when everybody's telling me they're going to get clubbed and shaving your head? It's okay to want, like, want more, though, right? Isn't it okay for me to want a Super Bowl and not just another NFC title loss? Why is that not okay?
Always be happy, never satisfied. Well, That's the slogan I live by. And then the Chiefs are cheating, too, because the Chiefs, they added Le'Veon Bell. You can't add Le'Veon Bell. He had problems. We assume that he's a locker room problem. Oh, you mean the same Le'Veon Bell who, before he signed with the Chiefs, got in touch with Clyde Edwards-Hilaire and said, hey, I have an opportunity to join your team, but I'm only going to do it with your blessing? He did that. And then Edwards-Hilaire said, yes, come, we need you.
He's like, yeah, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. Because he realizes that in 2020, here's the greatest part, man. Here's the best part about today's NFL, right? You could have more than one weapon. Like yesterday, everybody's like, man, how awesome is Jamal Williams? He's like a starting running back. And I said, yeah, good teams have two running backs, you know? Like, where have you guys been literally the last
Ryan.
This isn't 93.
Jay Sternberger and Malik Taylor caught touchdowns.
This isn't 93, like, where
they combined for 9 yards.
Where you had to worry about Emmitt Smith getting upset because you were taking his touches, or Thurman Thomas. You know what I mean? Like, these running backs want other running backs. They want somebody to share the load with them because they want to play. They want to get that second deal. You think Aaron Jones cares when Jamal Williams takes carries? No, those guys love each other, man. Because everybody wants to win. And if you're on a team like Green Bay, you want to win. Now, again, I'm fine without adding Antonio Brown. But last year, if Robbie Anderson is there for a second or a third round pick, and you're going to take your third round pick and draft Josiah DeGuara, who I'm not ripping Josiah DeGuara, but is Robbie Anderson a better player than Josiah DeGuara?
Well, H-back.
He is. And so, like, because here's my problem, right? I agree usually. Like, the last 10 years, I've continued to say, stop drafting defensive backs and expect them to produce day one. Quentin Rollins, Demarius Randall. You know, stop relying on rookies when you got a championship window right now with Aaron Rodgers. Go after some big-name free agents. And Goot did it. He added the Smith brothers. He got Adrian Amos. So I was happy about that. But then, like, this year, I was like, man, this draft class has guys in the first three rounds that can make a difference day one. They're NFL ready. The way the college game has changed translates better to the pros now more than ever, not only on the offensive side of the ball. If you want to talk defense, we could talk Patrick Queen, and there was a couple defensive linemen that I really like, and some pass rushers. And I know you don't really need a pass rusher, but you need to stop the run better, obviously. He gave up 300 yards in the NFC title game. So I said, go after some of these guys in the draft. And then everybody's telling me, well, no, you draft for 3 to 4 years. They're thinking future. Okay, well then, if you're like that, either you're trying to win now, you could sacrifice a third-round pick for a guy like Robbie Anderson, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I know you got to pay your own guys, but you could do that. The Chiefs are proven you could do that. How much money is Patrick Mahomes making? How much money is Tyreek Hill making? How much money is Travis Kelce making? They re-signed all the guys on the defensive side of the ball, and they just added Le'Veon Bell. When you bring in a Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown, they're not making what they made 3 years ago, $50 million. They're making like $1 million, $2 million. They're pretty much playing for free. So it's okay to want to improve your team, whether that be me wanting Patrick Queen or a starter from day one and not the tight end of the future or the H-back of the future, or going after free agents or trading for a guy like AB and taking a shot. It's worked for other teams. Like, look at the two teams that have made these moves, the Chiefs and the Bucks, both Super Bowl contenders.
A good example is, like, think of your house. Like, if you have a great house,
need windows,
but you need new windows, are you just going to let your windows not be good when the rest of your house is good?
No, that'd be dumb. You'd be like the Mike McCarthy of homeowning.
Or are you going to make the move?
Get new windows.
And call Windows Select.
That's what Kyle Shanahan would do.
Kyle Shanahan would call 262-703-3500. Legally, Kyle Shanahan is not an endorser of Windows Select.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oops.
262-703-3500. I will talk about them. Windowselect.com. They will do windows, siding, and doors on the exterior of your home, which is going to make the outside of your home look great and also help the inside of the home. A lot of these homes that you may have, especially in the city, older windows, you might not think that you can actually replace them. Ah, our windows are, they're not so good in the, you know, the winter time. What do people do a lot in the winter time? Oh, the windows, the cold air gets in. So I'm going to buy a bunch of like plastic and cover my windows and make my house look stupid and like a meatpacking plant for 6 months of the year. How about you get new windows? And they're as affordable as ever. So this is the time to do it. Buy one window, get another one free. Buy a one, get one free on the windows. That's the deal going on at Window Select. And you don't have to pay them anything for 12 months. And when you get new windows with the high quality windows they have, as energy efficient as they are, it's going to lower the cost of your heating bill just because they're so energy efficient now, and you'll have windows that are actually up to date with the technology and resources built into them outside of just, you know, glass, just random glass that you have separating you from the outside. Get the windows that have taken a tremendous amount of quality and craft in and check them out. Windowselect.com, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you from the Fan, and you can get that installed. They'll come out, do the consultation at no cost, get the windows done, buy one, get one. It's all back with their double lifetime warranty, and you don't have to pay anything for a year. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat. Horvat's wife saw four deer this morning. Unfortunately, she is unable to join us.
Damn it.
So we will talk Packers with Ryan Wood, and we'll do that next.
Do you want to know what's going on at 1265 Lombardi Avenue? What's next for the Pack? Let's check in with our Green and Gold insider, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press-Gazette. Brought to you by Thomas Morola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola. Online at MorolaLaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
Packers improved to 5-1. They grabbed the 35-20 victory against Houston on Sunday. Good performance. As you guys know, Aaron Rodgers had four touchdowns, two of those to Devontae Adams. 13 grabs in total, 196 yards, setting a couple of Packer records. And they're 5-1. Yet they did it against a team that's not very good. Not to dismiss this win, but as we bring in Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette, here's what I wonder, and this is the question that I have for myself and that we've had for people, Ryan. You look at this game, there's been six games they've played, five look the same, and then one looks different. You could call the Tampa Bay loss an anomaly, but that was also the game that they played the best defense. So when the Packers are up against a secondary that's not so good, Devontae Adams can have a game like he did on Sunday. And then if Devontae Adams is against the good corner, well, then you got the running game to utilize. But you have, if you have a defense that you're going up against that can stop both, well, then you're going to be in a little bit of trouble, and that's what the Packers were against Tampa Bay. So did we learn anything from this game, or did they just play another team that was weaker and so they beat up on them, and we're going to have to wait to see how they do against, let's skip Minnesota already and see how they do against San Francisco?
I think we learned the Packers are a good enough football team to do against bad teams what good teams do against bad teams, which is beat them soundly. You know, good teams don't mess around with bad football teams. They put them away. And at halftime, the Packers were up 21-0. They had 21 points. The Texans had 24 plays. So this was a laugher, and that's what good teams are supposed to do against bad teams. So, you know, I wouldn't say we learned nothing. I think everything that happened yesterday gets graded on the curb of the Houston Texans because they are one of the worst teams in the league. It's just the Packers put them away like they should against one of the worst teams in the league.
Did Devontae was great. I mean, we've talked a lot about the Packers' weapons this year and how many do they really have and who counts as one. Devontae obviously is amazing. I want to look at him first because there were some plays I thought that LaFleur orchestrated that were really, really good. There was this 31-yard catch from Robert Tonyan where there were like four guys out. It was like kind of a burst thing where four guys ran and Rodgers just picked the pocket on the left side that he liked. And then I was surprised to hear after the game, LaFleur said, yeah, there were some plays we called and Rodgers just like checked out and, you know, hit Devontae. But I think what it showed is you've got Matt LaFleur and his extensive playbook and the things they want to do, but you can't take away from Rodgers that 16 years of experience. And if he's got a play called and, okay, it's going to be a 9-yard whatever, if he looks and sees Devontae and knows he's one-on-one against the secondary cornerback, whoever, that's not very good, and the free safety's already cheating the other way, like Rodgers should be able to check out of that and get it to Devontae as he did. So I thought yesterday, in terms of are we learning anything, we're learning that this blending of what LaFleur's coaching and what Rodgers can do, it can be very successful.
No, I would agree. And I think that we've seen that when it's gone well for large parts of the season. A big key to that is how much better the Packers were in and out of the huddle on Sunday, something they did not do well in Tampa Bay. Because in order to have the pre-snap motions and all the busy activity before the snap that Matt LaFleur scheme has and provide Aaron Rodgers the autonomy before the snap to be able to check out of a play or to read the defense or use his hard count, you got to have time at the line of scrimmage, and they did that better yesterday. They did not do that well in Tampa. Now, as far as, I mean, I don't know what the Houston Texans thought they were doing against Devontae Adams, how they waited so long to start doubling him when he was uncoverable in single man. There was no adjustments, and it's kind of like Devontae Adams said after the game, you got to eat what's in front of you. But he was surprised too. I mean, it was a terrible plan that the Texans had against one of the league's best receivers. And again, that's what happens in this league where good goes against bad. It looks like that. And that's what it looked like.
Devontae had his big day, 13 for 196, as I mentioned, 2 touchdowns. The second option seems to be the running back, whoever the running back is. It was Jamal Williams. We'll talk about that in a moment, too. But then as far as like a third guy, Malik Taylor caught a touchdown. Jay Sternberger caught a touchdown. But nobody's really stepped up from the non-running back position. I'm talking tight ends and wide receivers. I will make an exception. Tonyan, okay, against the Falcons, he had the 3 touchdowns. But I'm looking at a game like yesterday. I'm looking at a guy like MVS. Look, Lazard goes out. You're unquestioned the second receiver. You only get in the box score because you had a rush. At what point do the Packers realize they got to stop forcing this and it's just not working? Or is this something they believe in? I just wonder how much they continue to believe in this guy. Lazard goes out and MVS has not stepped up.
I think there's two ways of looking at it. One is it that a third option hasn't really stepped up, or two, is it that MVS hasn't stepped up? I would disagree that they haven't found third options. It's just that MVS hasn't stepped up into that role, and that's a big difference. And I don't think they're forcing it. He had 4 targets yesterday. He didn't catch any of them. But 4 targets is not force-feeding a guy the football over the course of the game, especially when, I mean, he's got to be out there because they do have injuries. So, MVS is – maybe he's going to be what he's been, which is a big play threat, a guy that can get a 40-yarder on you once every 3 to 4 weeks, but is not going to be there consistently week in and week out as one of your top options. That's certainly possible. I think the bottom line is this offense is able to click pretty well without that.
This big play threat that he's supposed to be. Last week he was 3 for 32. The week before that, 4 for 45. I just even think when Valdez Scantling goes deep, Rodgers will go to him, and there's like no chemistry on the deep ball. Like, yeah, he'll stretch the defense, and maybe they have to like keep it honest. But MVS isn't bringing in these catches. And you look at that draft from a couple years ago, Jamon Moore is God knows where. St. Brown, nice try last week. That didn't work. you can't take three receivers in one draft and have none of them pan out.
That's true. There's no question about it. It's very different than when the Packers took three running backs the year before, and two of them panned out with Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. Sometimes you'll have the former, sometimes you'll have the latter. No, there's no question that they whiffed on those three receivers if you look at where they're at right now. However, they are late round picks. I mean, I don't know how much more you would have, you know, MVS was a fifth rounder for a reason. Equanimee St. Brown was a sixth rounder for a reason. These were not second and third round picks. So, you know, grading them on the scale of what they were drafted, it's not like they're complete busts. I mean, they're playing in this league, and you know, MVS is certainly inconsistent, but he's made plays as well. So, bottom line is, again, this offense has been pretty all right without MVS, and I think that you got to look at these guys as who they are, which is late round draft picks that occasionally make plays, but not often.
Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com. You mentioned the running backs, and when I first heard Sunday morning that Aaron Jones wasn't going to play, and we had kind of been expecting that over the weekend, but when I heard it Sunday morning, a guy like Aaron Jones, I think, is great. I think the Packers should pay him. I want him to be here. But when I hear he's not playing, I'm not like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Because they got Jamal Williams. And Jamal Williams is a starting running back caliber player, and he proved it again yesterday. I wonder if, you know, money comes to be in play with the offseason, if the Packers somehow say, well, we can have Aaron Jones, or we could have Jamal Williams and then also squeeze in a Kevin King. I wonder if that's a way that they'll go. I think they need to keep Aaron Jones. I think a lot of us think Jones will stay. Jamal Williams is going to get signed somewhere else. What do you think the gap is between those two? I think that Aaron Jones has a level of explosiveness that you just don't find in a lot of backs. But Jamal Williams is certainly a starting caliber running back in this league, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, the gap is at least a full letter grade between the two. Like, if Aaron Jones is an A-, Jamal Williams is a B-. But a B-minus running back in this league is not average, right? I mean, that's still above average, and that's what Jamal Williams is. He's a good running back. He might not be a star. He's not Alvin Kamara. He's not Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook. He's not Aaron Jones. But he is a good running back, and the real luxury of having Jamal Williams, it's not so much just the yardage. I mean, yeah, the fact that you can get your backup running back to have over 100 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown is a great luxury. But it's that when something happens to Aaron Jones late in the week, that calf strain, it was late in the week. They had already laid a foundation for their game plan by that point. It's not like this happened early in the week. It's not like they expected it at the start of the week. It was late in the week, foundation of the game plan already in place. And they don't have to change all that much because not only is Jamal Williams productive, but he's also similar to Aaron Jones, a lighter version, but similar to Aaron Jones. He's also a dual threat. I mean, he can be a receiver. He can give you that versatility that Aaron Jones has. So, the fact that they didn't have to change their game plan all that much, I think, is a real benefit to that offense, especially with how late Aaron Jones' injury did come. And, you know, he's not the big playmaker that Aaron Jones is. You're not going to see him break off home runs, but he's a darn good running back.
The defense played well. I think a better team, given some of the opportunities that the Texans were given, especially the Packers started to have some three and outs offensively in the second half, could have made this a game if the Texans were a little bit better. Defense stepped up. Did you see more of a concerted effort from Mike Pettine and the defense to get more pressure than they did against Tampa a week ago?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Preston Smith is a great example of where sacks sometimes don't tell much of a story, because he still didn't get a sack yesterday. He still had a half sack on the year. But Preston Smith was the best player on the field for the Packers defense yesterday. The initial third and one where he trucked the right tackle 2 yards deep and blew up the play and they got the stop. The Zadarius Smith sack where he got pressure from the other side and it kind of moved Deshaun Watson into Zadarius Smith. the 4th-and-1 late in the game, which was the play of the game on the option where he read it perfectly and snuffed out Deshaun Watson. He was all over the field. Didn't get a sack. He was all over the field. As a whole, you know, they still didn't make a whole bunch of big plays. Not like you saw last year, but their adversity defense was a lot better. You know, after the block punt, holding the Texans to a field goal. That's big. That's what the Packers did a lot defensively last season. After the onside kick, getting the Henry Black fumble forced on David Johnson and recovering it and getting their first takeaway in 3 weeks. Before that takeaway at the end of the game, it had been since week 3 when Za'Darius Smith stripped Taysom Hill of the football in New Orleans that they had a takeaway. So it had been a long drought that for a defense that had 25 takeaways last year, now 4 on the season in 6 games. So their adversity defense was better, and then they kept the Texans off the scoreboard when the game was still competitive. I mean, until the very end. So, the defense had a good day along the lines of what they did against the Falcons. But you know, you're talking about the Falcons and you're talking about the Texans, two of the worst teams in the league. You got to see what happens when they go against the better teams.
Ryan Woody pops on our 3 shows throughout the week. I want to be the show that asks you about Henry Black. And I want to ask you about, like, how much – because here's what happens for me. Packers, you know, now you can bring up a couple of practice squad guys with the way this year is. And I read the transaction email. And then, you know, I wasn't at all the practices like you guys were. I'd like to think that I cover the team in some sort of way. I'm not there. But, you know, I talk about him. I watch him, whatever. Henry Black, I see this 41 running around. I'm like, this one got by me. And then I listen to Aaron Rodgers in the press conference, and he like is so happy for Henry Black, like he's his own kid. Some of these guys that are late additions, do they ever catch you off guard, or you being, you know, covering the team like you do? Are you like as in tune as anybody about just who exactly Henry Black is?
Yeah, no, I remember Henry Black from training camp, but I was certainly not expecting Henry Black to put his helmet perfectly on the football, tackling David Johnson and pop it out. That was a heck of a play for a kid that, I mean, it's like Adrian Amos said after the game, he had 3 snaps, 2 tackles, and a forced fumble. Those were his 3 snaps.
It's like Rudy. Rudy had 1 play, yeah. 1 sack.
It's incredible. So, you know, that's a memory I'm sure that Henry Black will take forever. That's a pretty incredible way to start your NFL career. With that said, no, he's not a well-known guy. You know, he had a good enough training camp to get on the practice squad. And so that's, you know, and then he's done good enough in practice squad to get a shot in the game, right, with the new rules. But, no, I mean, that's certainly a feel-good story.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys on the defense I could have talked to you about. Jair Alexander or Raven Green or Kamal Martin, Za'Darius Smith. I chose Henry Black. I feel good about it. We could talk about those other guys when we talk later in the week as we preview Packers-Minnesota. Ryan, you have a good rest of the week, and we will talk to you then.
All right, take care, Bart.
Ryan Wood, take care of yourself. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're feeling a bit anxious, breathe. And let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of banquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, some of the other key statistical numbers from around the league we will bring up for you. It's a fantasy segment, so I don't know why I just didn't tease it that way. Maybe I'm scared that you don't like fantasy and you're worried, oh, Bart and Horvath are probably going to talk about their fantasy teams. Wrong. We don't do that. Horvath talks about his gambling, and I talk about my Jets Madden franchise. That's what we do. And we'll also take a look at the Badgers, who, what a game Friday, and then it all came crashing down, it looked like, Sunday night. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath here on The Fan. An update from Titletown, it's Mike Clemens.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department at cuw.edu/veterans. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers get the win, 35-20 over the Texans. Packers wide receiver Davante Adams had a career-high 196 yards on 13 catches and two touchdowns, who got it going early in the first quarter.
That was something that we aimed to do, come out and kind of hit on all cylinders early and, you know, get me going so that I can be able to produce for this offense.
The Packers won without several starters, including left tackle David Bakhtiari and running back Aaron Jones, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
So I was looking over practice, I think it was on Friday, and I counted, I think, 8 starters, you know, the beginning of the year that were in the rehab group. You know, that's not always the best feeling, but, you know, part of this league is next man up, and we need guys to step in and play well.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I just think we're a resilient group. These guys rallied around each other, and injuries are part of the game, and you have to have that next man up mentality, and, you know, they've been working hard.
So Green Bay improves to 5-1. They host the Vikings next. The Texans fall to 1-6. A tough year for J.J. Watt, who only needed one sack to reach 100 for his career, but fell short.
J.J., what's it like chasing Aaron Rodgers and getting close to him and then find out he's already completed a great pass down the field?
What do you think that's like? Not great. Gotta get better.
Best Packers coverage on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Who scored it up for you in your fantasy league this week? Who just killed your team this week and sent you to the loss column? It's Who's Hot and Who's Not on The Bart Winkler Show, presented to you by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free, plus no payments for a year. Call Windows Select today, 262-703-3500.
Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning. Add Aaron Rodgers to the list. He is the fourth quarterback in NFL history with 50, at least 50 career games where he has thrown 3 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Brady's done it 60 times. Drew Brees, 54. Peyton Manning, 51. Rodgers now 50 times. He stepped on the field, thrown at least 3 touchdown passes and no interceptions. Who's hot in fantasy? Well, Aaron Rodgers, 283 yards, 4 touchdowns it was. Jamal Williams, you plug him in for Aaron Jones, you're happy. 77 yards on the ground, 37 through the air, and a score. Oh, you are thrilled if you took Devontae. 13 for a 196, 2 touchdowns. You're even satisfied if you took Deshaun Watson. He had 2 touchdowns, 309 yards. Hey, if you needed to play Randall Cobb, 8 for 95. So definitely some hots in this game alone. Not hot, Brandon Cooks, 7 for 60, but you got to get better out of Brandon Cooks. David Johnson did score a touchdown, so I was going to put him in the not category. I'll put him in the lukewarm. Same with Will Fuller, just 3 grabs and a touchdown. Valdez Scantling, not to keep picking on friend of show, but he didn't do anything. He had a run. He's got to step. I mean, he has got to step it up. Alan Lazard's been hurt for weeks. This has been the opportune time for him to step up, and he just has not done it. Marquez Valdes-Scantling forever on the not hot list when it comes to fantasy football. Otherwise, a lot of other good performances in fantasy yesterday as I am racing to pull up the stat sheet because I forgot to during the break. And I was wondering, Horvath, are you going to chime in here? Should I give you something to chime in with? But then I don't want you to, like, take it in a different direction because I really need to read stats right now. It's part of the segment.
Well, you know what? A lot of good fantasy numbers yesterday.
Oh, good to know I have them.
Oh, okay.
How about the game last night? Kyler Murray last night in last night's game, 360 yards. There we go. 360 yards, 3 touchdowns, and he rushed for 1. Justin Herbert, your boy, in the draft. 4 touchdowns, 3 in the sky, 1 on the ground. Tom Brady, man, Tom Brady had a game, 369 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Jeff Wilson had a really nice game for the Niners before he died. He got carted off. James Robinson, 100 yards plus, couple of scores. He looked really good. Receivers, Tyler Lockett. I mean, as good as Devontae was, 13, 196, and 2, Tyler Lockett, 15, 203. And then, of course, the leader for tight ends was, you know, I picked up David Njoku thinking, oh, Hooper's out? This is great. Harrison Bryant had four catches, 56 yards.
A touchdown, right?
And two.
Two touchdowns.
Touchdowns.
Yeah.
Who sucked yesterday? Well, Andy Dalton, he also died.
Yeah, I think Bostic should be suspended the rest of the year. You're telling me what Myles Garrett did was that much worse than what Bostic did? Yeah, you can't take somebody's helmet off and whack-a-mole him, I get. But you also can't. I mean, Dalton was sliding, and you could have ended his life. That hit right there could have killed that man. So I think that no suspension for John Bostic on that hit.
So yeah, it was helmet-to-helmet. Dalton was sliding.
Oh, it was gross.
And then they, like, barely fought for him. They just, like, laid down and died. We got to hear from the big guy at least once today.
I would say that, you know, there's adverse moments we didn't respond to. I clearly feel we'll overcome the adversity of what, you know, the experiences we've had in our season. So I do believe that.
Okay. I'll tell you who's bad at running back is Devin Singletary. What is this guy never scores. That's getting annoying. Ezekiel Elliott only had 45 yards. He was terrible in that game, too. Wide receivers that were not hot, that you would have expected to be hot. Stephon Diggs got hurt, 6 of 48. Mm-hmm. We'll just say him.
That game was a lot closer than expected, too.
Yeah, Bills, they just field-goaled their way over the Jets.
They've come back down to earth a little bit. I thought, if anything, man, they should have went all in for Le'Veon Bell, because you said it right there, Devin Singletary, year two, not really what we expected. I think that they need another running back there. And I like Josh Allen still, but he's come back down to earth a little bit.
Only one NFC North team played that wasn't the Packers yesterday. Vikings had the week off. Bears played tonight. But you had the Lions, who wanted Todd Gurley to score. They let him score. He tried not to score, but he ended up scoring. And then the Lions, that worked out for them. They took the ball down the field and scored with no time left on the clock.
What kind of pressure do they put on Matthew Stafford? He has time. Hesitates, throws. Touchdown, Lions! And TJ Hockenson.
I needed that one.
Oh, yeah?
Gambling purposes, I had the Lions look like they were going to blow it, and I got Hockenson in a couple leagues, too.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks, man.
Everyone cares.
They should.
They talked about that NFC West last night. I think that was a very wild game. You had Cliff Kingsbury, who was almost trying to coach to lose the Seahawks and Cardinals game. Like I said earlier, I just love the NFL, man. I can't get enough of it, and I can't imagine that outside of being dead, why I wouldn't on a Sunday sit down and watch 12 hours of football. And to have that game last night, which was supposed to be an afternoon game, it got moved because there was concerns that the Raiders-Buccaneers game wasn't going to be played. It eventually was, but the NFL's like, well, we got to have a Sunday night game no matter what. So this one looks to be safe, two good teams. Russell Wilson had the ball twice in overtime and threw an interception on that second drive. He had three interceptions last night. And then what gets celebrated, how many yards he had and his night to Tyler Lockett. If Rodgers, we'll do this. I don't care. If Rodgers had that game last night where he threw three touchdowns, but three interceptions, has Rodgers ever thrown three picks in a game? Honestly, has he?
I think he has, right? Maybe his second year? I don't know. I mean, he's definitely thrown two.
He threw two interceptions last week, and the team was so shocked they couldn't even play in the second half. Three interceptions in overtime, and then afterwards, everyone's celebrating how good Russell and Kyler were as a duo together with all the yards they put up both on the ground and, again, passing. No, Russell he didn't cost his team that game, but they lost that football game.
You know when Rodgers threw three interceptions? Remember when he came back from the collarbone injury against Carolina and everybody ripped him even though he shouldn't have been on the field? They had a slim hope to get into the playoffs. He threw three picks in that one. Everybody's like, man, Rodgers' arm strength ain't there anymore. He's underthrowing guys. He has a broken collarbone. I've never been more angry after listening to the station that next day. Everybody. And, like, I get it from the fans, but, like, shows, and if you cover this team, you should realize, like, you know, might take a little bit off the arm strength if you got a broken frickin' collarbone.
What really? What was the? Would you say that's the most angry you've been listening to the station after a Packer game? Because I've got a different one.
No, that one. Yeah.
Mine was when Brett Hundley had three touchdowns against Pittsburgh.
And everybody loved Hundley.
Yeah, even though he sucked.
Yeah.
And none of those touchdowns were because of him.
Yeah, I'll probably go with the collarbone day when people ripped Rodgers. Like when he, I mean, they had no legitimate shot at getting into the playoffs, but they had like a 0.1% chance and he came back and stunk. Yeah, that day was frustrating just because I was actually just happy that he came back and tried to play. Then they shut him down the next game. That whole year actually was very frustrating to me, though.
We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers coming up. We'll hear from Davante Adams and Matt LaFleur. We'll go in the locker room. We have plenty of availability for you guys. You want to talk Packers? You want to talk Badgers? They had a great win on Friday night. Badger Nation just entranced with what Graham Mertz was able to do. Everybody excited. They get up to 9 in the polls. You look at their schedule. There's one tough game. It's going to be Michigan on the road. Michigan looked good on Saturday night. And so you're really optimistic that the Badgers can make a run to the Big Ten title game, possibly do it undefeated when they get there. Now they may have to do it with Chase Wolf, as Graham Mertz, according to reports, is tested positive for this thing called COVID. COVID, if you guys haven't heard of it, it is a virus that has shut down the entire world of sports for 4 months. Mm-hmm. And then we just decided, all right, we can like, it's still here, but we can kind of work our way around it. If you guys haven't heard this, Wisconsin's actually the epicenter of the virus in the entire world.
Jeez.
The whole, not like the Midwest, the whole world. So our quarterback caught it. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know if it was a false positive. The Badgers, with the testing they're using, have had some problems with false positives. That is something that can occur. I think Nick Saban just went through this because he had a positive test and then had a bunch of negatives, so he was able to coach. It's just another weird thing about this thing we barely know anything about. But what we do know is, according to the Big Ten, if someone tests positive for COVID, they cannot play for 21 days, which would knock Graham Mertz out for the next 3 games, including that game that I mentioned against Michigan. So we're all pretty jacked right now about football in this state. The Packers are 5-1. The Badgers, that was a Heisman performance. There is a legitimate Heisman Trophy campaign.
And the defense looked just as good. Your boy Wild Goose flying all over the
Wild
field.
Goose, Loudermilk. They were crushing it. But then we found out that Graham Mertz tested positive for COVID. We will have the latest on that, because either he's going to test again and be positive, so they're going to say he has it, or there could be a negative test. And if he tests negative a couple of times, he should be good to go for Saturday. Otherwise, it's the Chase Wolf time. No Jack Cohn now, no Graham Mertz. Very interesting, especially with the Badgers team that needed that passing game on Friday. The rushing game never really got it going, which is weird to see with the Badgers. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, much more from you guys coming up on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.